pleased that the Assembly recognized that the Red Onion has an outstanding record.
Skagway sustains the Red Onion's conditional alcohol permit. The Haines Glacier Bards in Wrangell. It's the KHNS News, and I'm Burn Power. The Skagway Borough Assembly voted on November 3rd to uphold the Red Onion Saloon's conditional use permit. Skagway Borough Clerk Emily Deitch explains what a conditional use permit is.
Our municipal code requires that businesses serving alcohol in the historic district, it requires that they get a conditional use permit to do that. And this requirement was put in place a while ago. It hadn't been enforced since 20 years. So there are a lot of businesses who were basically doing business normally, and we've said, you need to get this conditional use permit. There was sort of a big movement to get all of the restaurants and bars serving alcohol downtown here, getting them to be in compliance by getting conditional use permits. So that happened. The Red Onion got their conditional use permit from the Planning and Zoning Commission, or they approved it, and then it was appealed to the Board of Adjustment, and that the Assembly sits as the Board of Adjustment. It was appealed to them, and they upheld Planning and Zoning's decision to grant that conditional use permit.
The Board of Adjustment heard an appeal from Beth Smith of Skagway's Pizza Station to the Planning and Zoning Commission on their recent approval of the Red Onion permit. Smith's appeal stated that she does not think that the Red Onion meets two of the four conditions of the permit. Deitch explains the conditions.
The first is the requested conditional use will protect the public health, safety, and welfare. And B, the requested conditional use will not permanently or substantially injure the lawful use of neighboring properties or uses. C is the requested conditional use will generally be in harmony with the comprehensive plan, coastal management plan, and other officially adopted plans. And the last is the requested conditional use will not substantially decrease the value of or be out of harmony with property in the neighboring area. So the person who appealed the decision said that the application does not meet two of the required criteria, but then she says it devalues surrounding residents and businesses. So the Board of Adjustment looked at that in particular because that was the only specified reason, the devaluation of surrounding businesses and properties. She was looking at that fourth criteria. The requested conditional use will not substantially decrease the value of or be out of harmony with property in the neighboring area.
Red Onion Saloon owner Jan Rentmore was relieved to have her conditional use permit sustained by the board.
I'm pleased that the Assembly recognized that the Red Onion has an outstanding record. We have no violations under the noise ordinance. We have no violations with the ABC board or the local police. So I think it was a good decision. And we are located deep in the historic business district, and all of our neighbors around us are in the historic business district, so there really were no grounds for the appeal.
One of the central issues of the appeal was that the Red Onion features too much live music during the summer season. So the question we had was, how much live music and what kind?
We start in the morning, sometimes as early as 9 o'clock with a piano player, and we have banjo and spoons and or piano throughout the day, and then we have local groups. The Windy Valley Boys play every Monday night. Then we bring in groups who might be passing through on their way to the Haines Fair. Locals love it. People in Skagway have always loved live music.
And so Rentmore says the Red Onion Saloon will continue to bring live music into Skagway.
We're going to continue with our program of live music because the Red Onion has always had live music, and we'll certainly work with the neighbors. If any of them are being disturbed, we'll try to do what we can to make it better. But we do plan to go ahead with our live music because that's what the Red Onion is. It's all about live music.
If you wish more information, Emily Deitch welcomes inquiries at the Skagway Borough office.
In July of 2010, a newly refit Jayhawk helicopter was flying to Sitka from Astoria, Oregon, when it ran into some power lines strung across a channel and crashed into the water off La Push, Washington. Three of the four people on board were killed: the pilot, Lieutenant Sean Kruger, Petty Officer First Class Adam Hoke, and Petty Officer Second Class Brett Banks. Co-pilot Lance Leone was injured and survived. He's now facing three charges from the Coast Guard. The first is that he negligently failed to navigate the helicopter away from charted hazards and failed to make sure it was flying above 500 feet in accordance with Coast Guard policy. The second charge is for the destruction of military property, the chopper, which was valued at $18.3 million. Both of those charges are misdemeanors. The third charge is a felony. The Coast Guard says Leone negligently caused the deaths of Hoke and Banks. There are two counts, each carrying a maximum of 3 years in jail. Leone is not facing charges in connection with the death of the helicopter's commander, Sean Kruger. The charging document amounts to what would be a criminal complaint in civilian courts. The Coast Guard intends to convene an Article 32 hearing, which is similar to a grand jury, to determine if Leone should be court-martialed.
The Article 32 hearings are not used to determine guilt or innocence.
Chief Petty Officer Kip Wadlow is a Coast Guard spokesman.
It is a review of the evidence that's been collected, along with the potential charges that are being faced by the member.
Wadlow says an investigation began immediately following the crash of Helicopter 6017. The details of that investigation have not been made public, and the Coast Guard says they won't be released until after the proceedings regarding Leone are concluded. But a former military lawyer says the damage might already have been done.
Your career can end without being court-martialed. It doesn't take much. In the military, it doesn't take much.
Lieutenant Colonel John Farr is retired now and in private practice in Anchorage, but he spent most of his career as a judge advocate general in the Army. He says in cases like this, acquittals are common, but even charges are enough to do serious harm to a military career.
You're toast if you're acquitted. You're toast if you're found guilty. So as far as your military career, it ends upon the charges in this day and age.
Leone's attorneys have asked him not to speak to the media during this phase of the process. In addition to a military-appointed lawyer, Leone is represented by Anchorage attorney Philip Widener, who did not return calls for comment. Efforts in Sitka are underway to establish a legal defense fund to help Leone with expenses. Farr says the charges against Leone are extraordinarily serious, but not unprecedented. Military accidents always involve an investigation, and often officers connected to the incident face some sort of consequence.
I mean, in addition to the tragedy of whatever happened, if a training accident happens on your watch, you know that it's going to potentially impact your career, not only your career, but the careers of everybody up the chain of command.
But Farr also says Leone's intention to fight the charges is a good move, especially in light of the felony counts.
Oh, you have to defend yourself. If you're convicted of a felony, there's a lot of disabilities involved in being a felon. You can't serve on a jury. You can't vote. Can't possess a firearm. There's a lot of reasons to not be a felon. And because that's the way our system works, he should fight it. He should definitely fight it all the way.
Wadlow, the Coast Guard spokesman, says the officer who presides over Leone's Article 32 hearing will release the findings to Rear Admiral Thomas Ostebo, who commands the Coast Guard district encompassing Alaska. It will be up to Ostebo whether the findings proceed to a court-martial, whether the charges are dropped, or whether the matter is handled administratively. Leone's hearing is tentatively scheduled for December. With reporting from Robert Woolsey, this is Ed Ronco in Sitka.
This just in: the Glacier Bards, Haynes' DDF team, was in Wrangell this past weekend as they move closer to the home meet at the end of January and the state championships in mid-February. A number of Haynes competitors in Wrangell were there for their first meet because of running cross-country earlier in the year. Even so, the team had excellent results. Patrick Henderson and Eli White took first and second place in original oration. Both pieces were composed in the last few weeks and being offered in competition for the first time. Zeke Frank finaled in a humorous interpretation. Tia Haywood and Zalia Asquith-Hines finaled and took fifth place in duo interpretation with Goldfish, a story of magic fish that grants wishes to its owners. Cassie Galasso and Jenny Humphrey finaled and took seventh place in duo with a complex piece about two girl werewolves raised by nuns. The Haynes Readers Theater entry, assembled the week before the tournament, included Royal and Patrick Henderson, Jenny Humphrey, Zalia Asquith-Hines, and Zeke Frank, and is based on several scenes from a Monty Python movie, The Meaning of Life. Royal Henderson and Brennan Whittemore had a very strong tournament in extemporaneous speaking. Margaret Jones final for the first time in extemporaneous commentary. And the Haynes debaters, Brennan Whittemore, Zalia Asquith-Hines, Eli White, Royal Henderson, and Zeke Frank and Patrick Henderson all did very well in the DDF. Coach Gershon Cohen talks about the strengths and hopes of the team.
At this point in the season, I think we're really right where we want to be. Some of the teams around Southeast start off a little bit faster than us in terms of getting their pieces chosen, but we take more time and we find pieces that really are going to work for our kids as well as work for the event. And at this point in the season, we're now starting to move clearly through the middle of the pack. We're getting into finals in almost every event already. And I know that by February, we're going to have a really strong team. In fact, I think that this could be perhaps the strongest team we've ever had because we are really broad in our basically every event category. We have strong pieces and people that are really going to do well. The other thing that's really exciting about this team is it's so young. We only have a couple of seniors on the team. So not only are we doing well, but we are looking very strong for future years as well. The Haynes Tournament is the last weekend in January, and we will need judges for that. It's only 2 weeks before state, so everything from our school and the other schools will be very, very polished at that point.
For KHNS News, I'm Byrne Power.